37 and 38. I think Kyle put those up. Me and Melissa went to the movies Friday night. We went and seen a movie called I'm Not Ashamed. If you get a chance, go see that. It's really good. That's the verse this morning we'll start out. But I want to give you the preference. On the way down, me and Melissa were talking, and she said, What are you going to preach on Sunday? Now this is a ongoing thing for the last 15 years. It's top secret information. Can never be divulged to anybody. Some of you preachers say amen. Can't tell them, can't share it, can't divulge the information. She's went as far trying to look at my notes, so I've had to make extra notes. Stuff I want her to work on. Amen? Can't hurt. Amen? Marked my Bible in a total different place than where I'm at. Of course, you can't find it. But I was being honest with her. I said, Melissa, I'll be honest with you. I hate it. When somebody asks me to come for a month or 2 months in advance, my mind starts drifting towards that place. I'd rather be asked to preach 5 minutes before I'm going to preach instead of 5 weeks. So I'm like, man, I'm really thinking on this. I'm consumed with this, but I really am trying to focus. And she said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Lord speaks to you tonight at the movies. I'm like, okay, thanks. Amen. I'll be looking for it. And we walked in the movie theater and we sat down, and there was an onslaught of commercial ads for Coca-Cola. Amen. Now, I haven't drank a Coke in 4.5 years, maybe 5 years. I don't drink Coke. I just don't. One day I made up my mind. I said, I'm tired of feeling this way. I'm just not going to drink any more Coca-Colas. Amen? Some of you, don't be mad at me. I ain't mad at you. Amen? You don't have to be drinking Coca-Cola. I don't care. I just don't do it. But anyway, I sat down, and about the third commercial, I looked at her and I said, man, all the cool people are drinking Coca-Cola. Amen? I said, man, that kind of makes me want to have Coke. I think I'm going to run out there and get me one. I wasn't going to. She said, no, you ain't. I knew I wouldn't. She can't tell me what to do. She's not here this morning, amen. But then the last commercial came on, and it was a story. It was a story of how a little boy and a little girl was going to go on a date, but then the parents were talking about the time they went on a date. Amen? And it all ended up with the boy ran out to the concession stand and got a Coca-Cola and sat down and shared it with her. And her hand, she touched his hand, and then she leaned over. She said, I won't get a Coca-Cola. Melissa did. Never mind. Did I tell her? We didn't get one, but before we left there, we was thirsty for Coca-Cola, right? Because we had seen other people who were enjoying their Coca-Colas and had a story, and they were enjoying the Coke so much, and then they were also had a story that brought us to the place where, hey, that made my mind think that I wanted a Coca-Cola. And I started thinking after that, that we should make people thirsty for Jesus. Amen? We should. No, I'm not talking about... I love preaching the gospel. I love preaching about heaven. I love preaching about hell. I love telling people the truth. But let me be honest with you. I would rather somebody get thirsty for what I have. Amen. The Bible reads right there in 7, it says, in the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believe on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Do y'all know what was going on in this passage right here in John chapter 7? He was having an on-running dispute with hypocrites, or Pharisees and Sadducees. It was one of the most ridiculous arguments ever. It usually is when you're arguing with people who have religion and don't have Jesus. Amen? Look at this. Listen to one part of it said. This has almost nothing to do with the message, but I want to show you how ignorant people can be when they're arguing with Jesus. Are y'all ready? Can y'all handle this? Good, I thought so. Amen. Look at verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go you about to kill me? Because in the law, you shouldn't kill people. Amen. Is anybody, never mind. Does everybody understand in the law, thou shalt not kill? Amen. Well, Jesus just wrote, he just come out and told them, he said, you guys are trying to kill me. You know what they said? You're crazy. We ain't trying to kill you. You want to see what's cool? Look at what the people said. Look down in verse 25. Then said some of them in Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? God, I don't know if anybody's a Bible geek like I am, but that's so funny. Amen? Let me kind of give you that illustration, how it works right here. Jesus is having an on-running back and forth with the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he finally nails them, and he says, listen, you guys are so religious. You look so good. He said, but why don't you keep any of the commandments, especially a big one, like you shouldn't kill because your guys are wanting to kill me because I'm looking into your heart. Did you know that Jesus looks into your heart? Some of you are sitting here and you think you're kind of giving the fake out to God, but God's looking at your heart. They thought because if they looked a certain way and talked a certain way, God wouldn't know that they wanted to kill him. But he knows. So he says, you want to kill me? But then the people, when they see Jesus went on to teach back and forth, and they were having a back and forth disagreement, but they were actually talking to Jesus, and Jesus was telling them who he was. And all of a sudden, the Pharisees go, the people said, hey, why are they talking to Jesus? Ain't this the one that they plan to kill? God, that's so cool. Well, then the crazy thing about it is, they end up killing him. Amen? They remember they gave Judas the 30 pieces of silver to betray him? He knew it. And it was okay that he knew it. I love that. I love this. Amen? But then Jesus got fed up with talking to the religious people. He got tired of arguing with them. Amen? Anybody tired of arguing? You know what he did? He stood up in the temple and he said, if anybody's thirsty... Amen? If anybody's thirsty, come and drink unto me, amen? And you'll have rivers of water coming out of your belly, amen? God, never mind. Is there anybody who's thirsty in here? Amen? I'm just thirsty. I love Jesus. I'm thirsty for Him. When you get thirsty, show this other one, Kyle. I think it's Matthew 5 and 6. Look at this. It says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen? If you're thirsty for Jesus, He's saying if you're thirsty for Him, then He'll fill you. God gave an awesome illustration in the Psalms of how thirsty we should be. I didn't even know this was going to be in my sermon this morning. Somebody came by the office and said, a little bit late to be adding to the sermon. I guess not. Because God threw this in there. It's Psalm 42:1. I'll turn over here. I don't know if Kyle's going to put that one up. He's not going to put that one up. Good. So go. If you want to run with me, how many of y'all can beat me to Psalm 42:1? Lord have mercy. He beat me. I don't like you anymore. Psalm 42:1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Did you hear what he just said? I know it's a heart. In the King James, that's heart. Anywhere else, that'd be deer. Amen? Amen? Do you like that? God gives us a straight up illustration of how He wants us to come after Him as a deer. And He said, what does that matter? Are deer extra thirsty? Yes. They're extra thirsty. Because guess what? Everything's hunting them. Everything's hunting them. Buicks, Oldsmobiles, GMCs, Dodges, amen. Bow and arrows, guns. I mean, everything's hunting them. Coyotes, wildcats. Everything's hunting them. Man's hunting them. Animals are hunting them. If you ever watch a deer, they're always on ready, amen. That tail's just kind of flickering, just waiting, and they're always running. So you know when they come to a brook, they're thirsty because they've been running. Heart's beating fast. And they're thirsty for the water because they've been running their life. And God tells us that's the way we should be for Him. We should be so thirsty. Some of y'all sitting here this morning say, well, I ain't no deer. Yeah, you're worse. You're a sheep. You're a sheep. You got less defenses than a deer does. A deer can jump high and run fast. Sheep, we can waddle. Man, all we can do is cry out. All we can do is be eat. All we can do is rely on the shepherd. All we can do is be thirsty. Because all of our reserve, all of our fight, all of our defense, all of everything that we have is in the shepherd. It's not in us. So our soul should be thirsty for Jesus. I mean, I'm not talking to everybody in here, but I'm talking about the desperate ones. I'm talking about the ones who are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen? You're sick and tired of living this life out. I don't care if you're 15 or 58 or 78. I don't care if you're 6 or 100. You're sick and tired of living this life, depending on the government, depending on how the winds of change go. You want Jesus and you're thirsty for Him. And if you get thirsty for Him, listen, we've made this so complicated, sharing Jesus. Do y'all remember my illustration? The only reason I wanted a Coke was because I was watching somebody else drink one. Amen? If you watch enough people drink a Coke, and they're having a great time, and it's changing their lives, you might think about ordering yourself a Coca-Cola. Amen? I told you when I first got saved, one of the reasons I got saved was I got tired of seeing how much peace my daddy had. When I'd get around him, I knew he had things to stress over. I knew he had things to worry about, but it seemed like he had a peace that passed all that. So it started making me want what he had. And the only thing I knew that he had that I didn't have was this Jesus. Go to James. James chapter 3, 10, 11. I think he's going to show this one. You know what God wants us to be? After we get that water, guess what He wants us to be? James. Okay, he's not turning for me, but I'll turn. James chapter 3. There it is. Thank you, Kyle. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? God calls us to be a fountain. Right here. Amen? Some of y'all need to make a note right here. He wants you to be a fountain, not a drain. Amen? Amen. A fountain, not a drain. That means you're not just sitting there draining everybody. Amen? You're not just sitting there just consuming everybody. But He wants you to be a fountain. But what kind of fountain? A fountain that when people know, when they see you, they can come to you and they can get fresh, living water out of you. Because you were thirsty. And you got the water, now you are a fountain, amen? You are a place for other people to come to because they see that you have the water. God, some of y'all are wondering, how am I going to win my friends? How am I going to win my family? Praise God, I'll tell you exactly how. You get filled up with the Word of God, you filled up with Jesus, and they'll want what you have even if they say stuff like they don't. Have you ever had people in your life who run you down because maybe you got what they want? They just are mad at you and angry with you because they really don't want to get out of their situation bad enough, so they're still mad at you because you got out of yours. I'll say it again. They're mad at you because you got out of yours. But that doesn't take it from you to not give them the water anyway. Golly, I love it when some people come to me and they'll say, so-and-so, they really showed themselves now. They're really angry with me. They're really coming after me. They're really cursing me. They're really mad. They're really upset. They're showing me. Used to they would smile. Used to they would take the information. Used to they would kind of act like they love me, but now they hate me. You know why they hate you? Because they're close. They're close. What do you mean they're close? They're closer now than they ever have been to surrendering to Christ. Because let me tell you something, it's a fight to give up. It's a fight to give up that thing. So don't give up. Don't give in. Keep praying. Keep loving them. Keep telling them. Hey, keep forgiving them. Man, if some of y'all would learn this little lesson right here, keep forgiving them. I used to have this saying. I'm still working on it.
Kill them with kindness. Kill them with kindness.
Have you ever wanted to hurt somebody, but God says, deep, heap love on them. God, Chris, listen to me, man. He said, heap coals on their heads like, no, he said, heap love on their head like you were heaping lumps of coal on there. Oh, God, I wish I could get that illustration. God says, your enemy, you're mad at him, and you want to tell him off. You want, God, never mind. Is there anybody real in here who would want to tell some people off? Have you ever had somebody, your wife, you talking to them, I'm just going to tell them. If they call over here, I'm just going to tell them. You know what the Bible says? You're supposed to just heap love on their heads like you was heaping that coal. Hey, Kyle, y'all run them steam engines, don't you? And you got to shovel that coal to keep it running. That's what he's saying. You got to keep shoveling the love in on them like you were shoveling that coal for fire. You got to sit there and go, I love you. I hate you. You think you're always better than me. You think you're perfect. You think you're so perfect. You and your perfect family. Oh, you're just so perfect. You say, yeah, all right, we're not perfect. We're just saved by grace. And that same grace, you can have it if you want it. God loves you just as much as he loves me, if not more. I hate you. I love you. I love you. I'm going to pray for you. God, you know what's going to work? That's almost fighting words, ain't it? I'm going to pray for you. Don't you pray for me. But if they ever get saved, if they ever come to the Lord, when they do, praise God, they will know you. They will know you as that person. Amen. They will run to you as that fountain. They'll be that person. Now listen, I'm telling you this from experience. My daddy was my worst enemy before I got saved. I say that. I'm not proud of that. I'm not happy about that. But when he got saved, he got the living water. I could see him being thirsty for Christ. And I could see him having the water that I needed. But I hated him for it. But once I got saved, I love him as much as I love anybody on the face of this planet. Because he was willing to share the truth with me when I didn't even want it. Some of you got to get so thirsty for Christ and have the water coming out of you so much that anybody can drink from it. Can I preach right there? Can y'all handle this kind of stuff? I wish somebody would get so mad at you that they would hate your guts, but at the end of it, they'd still say, she still loves the Lord. I know that. Have you ever had somebody that didn't like you too much, but they could still say you love the Lord? Never mind. I worked for a lady for years, and she hated my guts. Amen? She did. But I remember one day she walked in the break room with her mom and broke her arm. She come in there, she was from Kentucky, and she kept calling me Cabin. My name's Kevin. Amen. Amen. It'd make me mad when she was mad. She'd come in there, Cabin, do this, Cabin, do that. And I'd be like, my name's Kevin. Amen. But one day she come in there, walk in that break room, she said, Cabin. I'm like, oh Lord. She goes, you pray for my mama? She broke her arm. Amen. I went, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know exactly what I said. I was kind of a smarter. When she walked out of the room, I looked at my best friend Bobby and I said, the devil just asked me to pray for his mama. Hallelujah. I'm being honest with you. I wasn't mature then. I'm still a little bit immature now. Amen. I might say anything. Sometimes I have to go back and ask forgiveness. True. God wants you to be that water. Let's go to John chapter 4. God gave us a real good illustration. I'm going to try not to preach all this because I know we've been here for a while and I hope you get the gist of this. Is God gives us great illustrations that we're supposed to thirst after Him. We're going to be so thirsty for Him and we want Him so bad that people will see that and then they'll want Him just as bad as we do. Amen? John chapter 4 and verse 10. He says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it was and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee the living water. I want y'all to get this in your heart and your mind before you leave here because I love preaching on this. And don't listen, just take it, okay? Every time Jesus refers to salvation, he always refers to it as a gift. Write that down, make a note. You can make a note right there in your Bible, you radical Christian. I know some of you don't want to do it, but make a note somewhere. When Jesus refers to salvation, he always refers to it as a gift. Amen? And always a free gift. Okay, it's a free gift to you, but it cost him everything. Amen? It's a free gift to you, but it cost him everything. But if it's a gift, it's not a reward. Amen? So it's freely given. You can receive it anytime you want to. All you have to do is ask for it. All you have to do is ask for that gift. And he gives it to you. Can I go a little bit further this? Do you know who he's talking to? He's talking to a woman that had five husbands, and this one was not her husband. Oh boy, she wouldn't do well in a Baptist church. I said that out loud. I didn't mean to. Oh, five husbands, and this one she shacked up with is not her husband. Amen? Remember when she came? She came at a dry time. She came at noontime to the water place of the well, right? Why'd she come then? Because all the crazy women that... Never mind. Ooh, did I say that loud too? All the women that would get together in the morning and sit around the well and get water and talk. If they seen her coming, here she comes, here she comes, here she comes. Look, here she comes. Remember her? Remember she was married to so-and-so, she was married to so-and-so, she was married to so-and-so? Remember that? Remember her? Remember she? Look, her life's a mess. Listen, she might not have ever heard them. I'm sure she did. She didn't have to hear them. She could see them. Hey, some people don't have to see you talk about them. They don't have to feel. They could see it. They could see it on your face. Amen? Yeah. They could see it from a mile away. Christian, if you believe you're better than somebody else, praise God, somebody can see that. But I want you to know something. Jesus is not better than anybody. He sat down that day. He was at the well. He was waiting for her. Amen? Jesus. I like Jesus because he's not no Casanova either, amen. He ain't trying to hook up with her. He ain't trying to get nowhere with her. What he was trying to do is he's trying to save her soul. Amen. All you guys get to town. I got something to do. Y'all get out of here. I'm hungry, so go get something to eat. So then she comes, right? And they have a running back conversation back and forth. Jesus will have a running conversation with you your whole life. Amen. Some of y'all know God's been trying to draw you your whole life. Why ain't you surrendered yet? But he's going back and forth with her, back and forth. And finally, he just tells her. He said, man, if you knew who you was talking to, if you knew who you was talking to, you would have asked me for the living water. It's this well right here. You want to thirst again. But if you knew who you was talking to, she was already thirsty. Amen? She's straight up, just give me that water. Amen? I'm going to preach something I've never preached here, and I've never preached out of this line, this chapter before ever. I want you to get this before you leave. Somebody in here knows what I'm talking about, but I want you to get this. Well, when she did that, guess what? Jesus said, I'm going to offer you salvation, but salvation doesn't come without repentance. You might want to write that down. Salvation doesn't come without repentance. All right? So Jesus was, he got her to a place that she was thirsty. So if you get somebody to a place where they're thirsty, then you got to be willing to let them know they need to repent. So that's one thing that's missing in the modern church in 2016. We want people to think that they can keep on living the way they're living and never return to God. And that's not the way it works. Amen? Oh, I ain't gonna go there, but I want you to hear this. So all of a sudden he said, go get your husband. Man, I'm telling you right now, that cut her to the bone. Amen? See, Jesus has a way. Has he ever got to that place in your life where he cuts you to the place where nobody else can cut you? Man, I'm telling you right now, he knows how to do it, don't he? I mean, he'll go down to that place that you thought was hid away, that nobody else can get to, and God will get there, and he will expose you. But he don't expose you to embarrass you or to hurt you or to destroy you. He does it to save you. Write this down. Man, this is so good. Guess what? God will take the thing that the devil was trying to kill you with and embarrass you with and destroy you with, and he will make it the first line of your testimony. Man, somebody need to kick the door in on that deal right there. Y'all are so subdued. I mean, y'all are subdued. I'm up here sweating like crazy, and y'all are just sitting here like, But how many of you start your testimony with what the devil was trying to destroy your life with? Amen? I used to use drugs and alcohol. Remember when you used to hide that from everybody? I'll just chill too if y'all want to. I used to be a liar too. I was a liar before Jesus met me. I was a fornicator and adulterer before Jesus met me.
Some people come to me and say, I can't believe you've had, I can't believe you were a sinner. What? I wasn't a sinner. Chief, amen. I was amongst them, amen. But see, Jesus, he'll get to the place where he exposes your worst thing and makes you say it out loud. You know why? You know why he wants to do that? Because there's other people hurting in that same situation and they're hiding out in their sin. And guess what? If somebody ever exposes the fact that you could get out and tell people who you are, then guess what? Other people can get out of their mess. Them five husbands and the one she was living to is repetitive behavior. Write this down. Young people, you better embrand this on your mind and your heart. What the devil wants you to do is he wants you to get into a sinful situation that you repetitively do it over and over and over and over, and you do the same thing over and over and over, getting the same results in your life, and you never change, and the devil makes it look like you could never get out. See, she married one guy and then another guy and another guy and another guy. Amen? Because that was her behavior. That's what she fell into. See, she didn't really want to get married as much as she wanted the security of being in a wedding or in a marriage with somebody who was going to take care of her. She was trying to fill the void with Jesus, with husbands. What are you trying to fill the void with? Hers were husbands. It's got a nice ring to it until you get to number six. But some use food. Uh-oh, somebody said it. No, we don't talk about that. We just like to eat, preacher. Yeah, but some people, they fill the void with food in their life because that's their comfort, that's their security. That's what they always relied on when they were feeling bad, because they would trust that more than they would trust God. We don't talk about that in church, because if we talked about that in church, then everybody would have to come to the altar and pray. I can quit anytime I want to, preacher. Good. No, let's get back to drugs and alcohol and lying and sex. Amen? Because that's when we can all feel better, right? Well, wait, let's go one step further. How about gossiping? Well, I feel better when I'm running other people down. When you run into somebody in that repetitive behavior, you're so used to knocking people down and talking so bad about them, because guess what? You feel miserable about yourself, and only kind of peace you can find is if you're tearing somebody else down. Look at her teeth. Look at her body. Look at this. She's short. She's tall. Look at him. Look at that. Look at this. Instead of look at me, look at my heart. It's easy to tear some people down. Who do they think they are? Man, we're really preaching this morning. I don't know if we'll have anybody come to the altar, but you'll have to leave here and say, hey, he hit me somewhere, amen? Some of our visitors came and they're like, man, I can't wait till church starts. And they're like, I can't wait till church is over. Is it going to be like this every time? I hope so. I want to dig into you the way the Lord digs into me. Amen? So those six husbands, guess what? It's just things we start to do. And you say, what would break the cycle? What breaks that? Jesus. He does. Amen. He might use a lot of different tools in a lot of different ways, but when Jesus sits down in your life, he'll give you the will, the ability, and the strength to get up out of your cycle of mess. Amen. That woman that day, she didn't get up and go home. She got up and went to town, where all the people are. Golly, ain't it cool how Jesus will bring you back to normal? Amen? See, she'd been running from people her whole life. See, what sin does is it drives you out into a place of you're all alone. But when you get to Jesus, then if you go through Jesus, you can go to anybody. Some people say, how in the world you be able to stand up and preach? How you be able to do this and do that? I can do it because I met Jesus. If I can talk to him, I can talk to anybody. Amen? I'm not intimidated by anybody. I've done talked to God. Somebody asked me one time, are you going to be a great preacher one day? Are you going to try to climb some ladder? No. I'm climbing down right now. Never mind. Chris, it's funny. The Bible says it this way. I have called you and I have ordained you. Didn't God call you and ordain you? Okay, so for to please a man or to get the approval of man, you'd have to come down a couple of rungs, right? Amen? I've already met God. Amen? We worked this thing out. He said, preach. I said, okay. I said, how long? Until you're done. When? When you're done breathing. Amen? I'm like, all right. So as people say, I'm going to quit. I'm going to give up. I can't. Somebody said, hey, you going to preach this Sunday? Are you on fire? You still got it? Hey, I got it.
Why? Because I'm thirsty. I'm so thirsty, I want you to get thirsty. Where did I get it from? I got it from God. Hey, I asked Him one day, 2004, August 28, I just said, God, hey, I'm thirsty. You know what He said after that? Well, I'll fill you up. I'll fill you up. If you're thirsty, if you're hungry and thirsty, Matthew chapter 5, then you shall be filled. Amen? All you got to do is ask Him. What are you asking for? What do you want? What do you want? I want this, I want that. Ask God for it. That's why it's so exciting for me to hear a young person. That's Rachel, just this last Wednesday, she prayed that prayer on Sunday. She met me in the middle of the aisle on Wednesday. Amen. Amen? She said, it's been hard. I love Jesus. I'm trying to change. I'm trying to work on it. But it's hard. But you know what? She had never met me there before. She had never met me at the aisle and told me, I'm working. God, I wish I... So guess what? She made her pastor thirsty. Because I remember when I used to tell somebody, hey, this ain't easy, but I still love Jesus. So when somebody says, hey, I'm just starting out, but I'm still going, I'm like, hey, I'm going to go then. Wouldn't it be good if we'd encourage each other to be a little bit more thirsty? You know, you want a great church? Do you want a great church? Get thirsty. I asked somebody when I first come here, y'all want to grow? Everybody in here, yeah. You know what growth takes? Failure. You get weak and you fail. And it's ugly, amen? And guess what? If you work out hard enough and you want to grow, guess what? All of a sudden, your muscles will be collapsing. You'll get, but then all of a sudden, you'll start to grow because you're tearing them apart. But then guess what? You'll say, anybody got any water in this here gym? Because I'm thirsty. If you're really working for growth in this church, spiritually and physically, we're going to get thirsty. You know where we can fill up on that at? Right up here, right in this sanctuary. I've told people this a bunch. Let's all stand as they come get a song. I've been telling people this for a while. If you keep coming back here and getting fed, you're going to grow. You're going to be a stronger Christian for it. You're going to be thirsty. And then you're going to go out of here and you're going to tell other people. And before long, this place is going to be so full. Why? Because we're all thirsty for God. And other thirsty people will show up and they'll get filled. And they'll go out and tell their friends who are thirsty. There's a place. There's a water knoll. There's a place up there. If you'll get there, you can get the water. If you can get there, it'll change your life. That's what I want to be said about this church more than anything else. I don't want them to tell them about the programs because we got great ones. I don't want them to tell about the people because we got great ones. I don't want to tell them about all the singing. We got great ones. I don't want to tell them about the preaching. I just want them to say, if you'll get up there, whew, God will meet you. He'll change your life. If you're thirsty, come and get in this altar. Talk to the Lord. If you're thirsty, only if you're thirsty.